Hi, and welcome to this talk on building apps for Bluetooth smart devices. And it's a companion app to earlier talks by George and Dean, where they discussed a broader picture of device access in Windows 8.1, as well as a talk given by Alec, where he focused on the protocol APIs, and in particular, Bluetooth RFCOM. So that was one portion of Bluetooth, and in this talk, we will discuss the Bluetooth smart devices. My name is Nigel. I'm a software engineer on the Bluetooth team. And for Windows 8.1, I worked on the Windows runtime APIs for Bluetooth. So during this talk, we'll start off by going over protocol level access and how Bluetooth smart devices fit into Windows 8.1 and what we've done there. I'll show you a demo so that you can understand what you can build with Windows 8.1. We'll then go into the API, take a look at the API there so that you know you can see the pieces that you will need to build your Bluetooth smart app. And then we'll go through some sample codes so you can see how those various pieces fit together. And then by that point, you'll know everything you need to know to build a great app for your Bluetooth smart device. But a few other people have asked for some specific questions, and we'll go into those in the advanced topics section. So by the end of this talk, you'll see that it really is easy to write an app that talks to your Bluetooth smart device. So before we get started, it is important to note that this is a 400-level talk, so we do expect some basic familiarity with Bluetooth smart. And don't worry if you don't know too much. We'll take a brief look at Bluetooth smart devices as well as the protocol behind it. And as well, we also expect some basic understanding of the broader landscape of devices access. And those are the talks that I referred to earlier, and you can find pointers to them online. In Windows 8, we supported sort of two ends of the spectrum. So we supported a very high-level construct API. So this is like, for example, talking to a printer. And then we also supported more custom access. So this is where you would have a custom device and you would build a custom driver that talked to that device, and then you could build an app that talked to that custom driver. In Windows 8.1, we've enabled new scenarios by providing new Windows runtime APIs. And these are for communicating over industry standards, such as Bluetooth RFCOM, Bluetooth Smart, and the various other items on that list there. So we call this protocol level access. And what it is it allows a way for apps to communicate using one of these industry standard protocols and transports. And this is done over Microsoft drivers only. So that protocol over this industry standard transport, it can be private if you want to talk over your own custom protocol, or it can be published. So for example, the Bluetooth Special Interest Group publishes standards for Bluetooth smart devices, and if you can talk over one of these published standards. And what that does is it enables hardware developers to innovate if it's one of your private protocols, or if it's a published protocol, you can build an ecosystem of apps that support your published protocol. And so that's the great win there. So let's look at what Bluetooth smart devices look like in Windows 8.1. And the story of Windows and any device, it always begins with pairing. So what we've done in 8.1 is to really unify that experience of pairing. And what that does is it brings a consistent user experience. And as well, we've built that into Windows. So what that means is pairing is something that your app does not need to worry about. Now, for Bluetooth smart devices in particular, they're focused around communicating little bits of data. So we've built a Windows runtime API that lets you collect and interact with those pieces of data on your Bluetooth smart device. And your app would do so over Microsoft drivers, meaning that you don't need to write any custom drivers yourself. So throughout this talk, I'll focus on an example Bluetooth smart device. Now, this is just a particular one that we've chosen to use for our samples and throughout this talk, but of course it applies to other Bluetooth smart devices as well. Now, a key part of Bluetooth smart devices is that they describe themselves using what's known as the generic attribute profile, or more commonly referred to as GAT. So, on a particular Bluetooth smart device, the device describes itself as a hierarchy. So, at the top level, you have a set of services, and in this example, looking at a heart rate device, one of those key services is the heart rate service. That heart rate service comprises a set of characteristics. Now, and the key one there on a heart rate service is, of course, the heart rate characteristic. And then each characteristic comprises a set of data describing a value of some kind. So in this case, in the heart rate characteristic, there is a value, which is the actual heart rate. And there is a description that says that the device can notify us when that value has changed. So that's pretty simple. You have a Bluetooth smart heart rate device. It has a bunch of services, one of which is a heart rate service. And that has a bunch of characteristics, one of which is the heart rate characteristics. So, like I mentioned, we'll stick with this example throughout the talk. And if you have our sample open, you can actually follow along and because it uses a heart rate device. And you'll be able to see how what I'm talking about applies in those slides. In that sample. So let's go ahead and take a look at a demo. We start off, this is our sample that we ship online, so you could try this at home too. So I'll go ahead and run the scenario now. And I'm going to select my heart rate monitor, which I am wearing right now. And go ahead there. And you can see that that Windows is going to prompt the user. And it's going to ask for permission to let this particular application talk to my heart rate sensor. And of course, I want to allow that here. So I'll go ahead and allow it. And there it is. And there you go, on screen is my current heart rate. So that's the first scenario. And this is taking advantage of the notify characteristic I was talking about earlier. So I'll show you another scenario here where we can read data from that my heart rate sensor. Because again, Bluetooth smart devices are all about those little pieces of data. So I'll go ahead and select read. And it turns out the location of my heart rate monitor is indeed on my chest. So that is the sample code that we ship online. There's a third scenario there for writing, but you can see that's pretty much the same. So let's go back here and continue on. So now I've shown you a demo, right, of what a Bluetooth smart device app can look like. And now the question is really, how do you go and build it? So this is where we introduce the API, windows.devices.bluetooth namespace, and it's under the generic attribute profile sub-namespace. And it's a family of APIs that let you interact with Bluetooth smart device services. So let's take a look at this API. Now we'll stick with that same service that we saw before, right? So that's the heart rate device, which has a heart rate service. That's really the key part of the device. And it has a set of characteristics, which we've discussed before. So the question now is, how do we take that sort of Bluetooth smart device and translate that into an API that lets you app developers build something for it? And we have to keep in mind that it's not just the heart rate device that we're interested in. We want to support all Bluetooth smart devices. And we want to make sure that we're doing so in a forward-thinking way, right? Because we want to make sure that Windows 8.1 can talk to future Bluetooth smart devices, ones that aren't even thought of yet. So what we decided to do, we decided to take that free-flowing structure, that self-describing structure in the Bluetooth smart and the generic attribute profile, the protocol itself, and mimic that into our GAT API. And so what we have here, we have at the highest level, we have the GAT device service object, and that's akin to the heart rate service on the heart rate device. And then it has characteristics, just like the protocol does. And each characteristic has a descriptor, just like the protocol does. And so this lets you build an app that can talk to any Bluetooth smart device, as long as it, of course, conforms to the generic attribute profile standard. And if your higher level protocol is published, then you also know how to talk over this API to accomplish some higher level scenario. So that means that 6 months from now, if there's a new great device on the market, Windows 8.1 is ready for you to build an app for that next great device. Or if you're out there building that next great device that you want to release 6 months from now, you know that you can release that device as well as an app that talks to that device. And you can do so on Windows 8.1 because we've built it to be that way. And of course, if you publish that standard or that protocol that you're talking over for your next great device, then you can build an ecosystem of apps for it, right? You've enabled an ecosystem of apps for it. So now, it's important to note that these three classes here, these are just the core parts of the API family. It's not an exhaustive list. For that exhaustive list, you can look online or look through our samples to find out some of the other classes. But these are the core parts of the API family. So now you know the API or parts of it, and it's time to build your app. Before you can even start writing the code for this API, you have to first declare what your application wants to access. So again, in the demo, we saw that there was an opportunity for the user to consent to my app using the heart rate sensor. And it does so via application capabilities. And this is a continuation of material that was presented by Dean and George in their broader device access talk, as well as Alec when he discussed protocol level APIs. So this is very similar to what Alec talked about for RFCOM, but with a little bit of difference so that it's applicable to the Bluetooth smart devices. So first off, you declare the capability, and that's by name. Then you would identify which services your application intends to use, and you can do so via the 128-bit UUID, or you can do so by name, because there's a list of supported names, and those are documented online. And then optionally, if you're interested, you can also choose to specify the particular devices that your application wants to access. If you're interested in every device because you're centered around the service instead, you can do so by specifying any, or you can specify the model or vendor ID, product ID, if you're interested in restricting to a specific model of device. So that lets your application declare what it wants to access, but it's important to know that you cannot access any system-provided services. So a good example of this is the Human Interface Device Service, or the HID service, on a Bluetooth smart device, such as a mouse. And the reason, of course, is that that service is provided by Windows itself, so you cannot access it in your app. And that list of system-provided services that you can't access, that set is provided online. So let's look at the most basic example of how to declare what your application wants to access. And this is one that we expect most people will fall into this category here. And so it's really simple. You can see that at the top I've declared the name. I've then specified that I'm interested in every device out there or any device out there. And because the real part that I'm interested in is the heart rate service. And I've declared it by name because it's on that list of services that are supported by name. Now that's the basic example, but you can also have a more advanced declaration. So in this example, my application declares that it wants access to two different services on two specific devices. So again, we always start off by declaring the name, but then I go on to say that I'm interested in this particular device, a Bluetooth GAT device, and I'm interested in this particular service ID. And it's a custom service ID that maybe I've got some extra functionality in. So my application, first off, is interested in that device and service combination, but it's also interested in this other device and service combination. And so if you're interested in multiple devices and services, you can go ahead and just keep repeating this section, and you can see how you would accomplish what you need there. And for Bluetooth smart devices, that model, it pulls from the manufacturer and model information that's provided in the device information service version 1.0. And for the vendor ID, product ID combination, that pulls from data that's on version 1.1 of the device information service. And both of those are published by the Bluetooth special interest groups. By this point, we've declared what our application wants to access. Now it's actually time to go and access it. And the first step, as I mentioned, with Windows and any device is always discovery. So for your app. So to discover, you're going to use the windows.devices.enumeration API. And this is consistent with all devices in Windows. So the way that API works is you pass in a selector. And this is essentially a string that allows you to search for a particular device based on some properties. Now, to help you in that process, your application can use helpers that are provided by the Get Device Service object, and that makes that easier. And these selectors are just strings, so you can augment that if you're interested in having a more specific selector. So once you take that selector, you pass it into the windows.devices.enumeration API, and you'll get back a set of device information objects that match that criteria that you wanted to select on. Now, it's a set of objects, so you'll want to pick one, and you can do so via some own, if you have some internal logic and you know how exactly you want to pick one. Or you can offer UI, and that's what the demo did. It offered a list, albeit of one item, because I'm only wearing one heart rate sensor. And so that's how a user could pick one of those, one device information object from that set. So once you've picked one, you have a device information object, and you can use that to instantiate a GAT device service object. And that is really the root object of the API. Now, when you instantiate, that's the time at which the API will perform a check, and Windows will check that the device, the particular device that you want to access, it will check that you've actually declared that your application will want to access that type of device. So that's where we'll compare your manifest and we'll look for the service. Did you declare the service? Did you declare the specific device that you were interested in? Or any device that would also match the criteria? So at that point, while those checks are being performed, there may actually be a consent prompt for the user. So that's the user's opportunity to say that, yes, in fact, I do want the application to access that specific device. And again, of course, you cannot access any system-provided service, such as the HID service. So now, something to be aware of, a pattern that exists across all device APIs on Windows, is that if your app does not have permission, so either you didn't declare it or the user did not consent, then when you try to instantiate it using from ID async function, you'll get a null object back. So let's say you've done all that correctly, you've got that GAT device service object back, you've now got the root object of the API. We want to get to the data, so we want to find a particular characteristic. In order to do so, we need to first understand how our GAT structure is identified. So in the protocol, GAT objects or GAT structures are identified by a UUID and an attribute and or an attribute handle. So a UUID lets you have that identifies a particular type of GAT structure, for example, the heart rate characteristic. But a device can have multiple characteristics that have the same UUID. And so they are uniquely identified by what's known as an attribute handle. And this is part of the GAT protocol, so we've adopted this into our API. So you can see how that's how we've built that analogous concept here into our API. So now you know how to identify it. Now it's time to actually find it. So sticking with that example again, we're at the service and we're interested in going and finding the characteristic. and maybe some information that describes how to use that characteristic. So there are several functions that will let you walk down this hierarchy to get at the object that you're interested in. And they're all keyed off the UUID, as I mentioned before. If you happen to know the device, the specific device, and it has a and it publishes more details about the protocol, you could identify a particular heart rate characteristic by the attribute handle if that information is published online, made public to you. And so again, sticking with that example, right, that key is how you navigate the tree, and you'll be able to do so to find the particular characteristic that you're interested in. So now you've found the characteristic, what can you do? Well, of course, you can read and write data. That's really one of the core pieces of Bluetooth smart devices. But sometimes, depending on the published standard, you can't always read or write. And so we expose some properties that'll let you query for exactly what that device is capable of. One of those is the protection level, so it lets you know the required protection level off the value on that characteristic. Because again, GAD is self-describing, so it will let you know what you can and cannot do. And in terms of reading and writing, that capability is in the characteristic properties. So that's how you can query for that. And so you could query for that. If it's optional, perhaps you can say that, you can look in the characteristic properties. Is this particular characteristic readable? If so, you can go ahead and use read value async to read that value. So reading and writing are two of the core parts of Bluetooth smart devices, and the other part is our events for data. So this is where I mentioned earlier that the heart rate characteristic happens to be able to notify the application when there is a new value. And the way to do so is to first set what's known as the client characteristic configuration descriptor. That lets the device know that you're interested in getting notifications about the values. And then you can register for an event. And so, your application would register an event handler, and it'll be invoked every time there's a notification from the device or an indication about a value change. So at this point, you know how to write an app, but you really want to know how to make sure your app is well behaved, because you want to get good reviews in the store. So the key part there to writing a well-behaved GAT app, a Bluetooth smart device app, and this applies to other devices, device apps as well, is to dispose of your objects when your application is suspended. Now, if you don't do that, if your application is suspended, then it resumes, and you just try and go ahead and use those same objects again, your application will get exception. So it's very important that your application disposes of those objects when suspended, and that's how you'll be able to write a well-behaved app. So now you know how to write the well-behaved app, let's go ahead and look at some code. So, as I mentioned, the first thing of building an app that will talk to a device of some kind is always declaring access. So let's look first at the application manifest that we use for our demo. So here's the section that we're interested in. You can see here I declared the name. I then declared that I'm interested in any device. I'm not interested in a specific device, so I use the any term here. And then I declare that my application will want to access the heart rate service. And I can use that by name, as I mentioned before, because it's one of the supported names, and you can find that list of supported names documented online. So now we've declared what our application will access. Now we're interested in actually going and accessing the device. And the first part of that is always discovering the particular device that you're interested in. So we'll look at the code that runs when I start the scenario. So over here, you can see that I'm using part of the device enumeration API, the windows.devices.enumeration, and I'm going to attempt to find all devices that have the heart rate service, or that are the heart rate service. And I'm using a helper method, as I mentioned before, that lets where the API will help you create a selector for that heart rate service, and then you can pass that in. Again, you pass that straight into the windows.devices.enumeration API. Now, it's asynchronous, so when it completes, you'll get back a set of devices. And I mentioned that you'll want to pick one of those devices. And so for the demo, we choose that we will ask the user. So we'll display a list here that allows the user to select one of those devices. So now the user goes ahead and it makes a choice here. So at that point, we go and retrieve the particular item that they picked, and then we will go ahead and initialize our object that we want. So let's take a look at that function to see what happens there. So here we are. So I have a device ID. I pass it into from ID async, as I mentioned before. And then at this point, Windows will perform the access check, and it will check that your application has declared the proper capabilities to access that particular device. And it, you know, may prompt the user for consent, so the user can choose at that point, yes, I do want this application to access my device at this time. And if the user did not consent or you didn't declare it correctly, then we get back a null object, as I mentioned before. This is a common pattern across the Windows.devices namespace. But if you declare everything correctly, the user consented, then you now have a service object, again, the root object. And then that's when you go and start looking for particular the particular object that you want. As I mentioned, objects in the GET API are keyed off by UUID, so I can do that here. In this particular example, I happen to know that on the heart rate service, for this heart rate monitor, there's only one. So I key off the UUID, and I'm interested in the first heart rate characteristic that comes back. Then I mentioned before that for heart rates, what's interesting is getting notified when that value changes. So you can see that registering for event handlers and letting the device know via the client characteristic configuration descriptor, I let the device know that I am interested in notifications from the device when that value changes. And if that completes, we're ready to go. And we have the service, we have the characteristic, and we've told the device to please notify us when there's a new value. And so that's what happens in the demo when that graph shows me all in my heart rate over time. So at that point, you have the object, of course, but we talked about how at this point you've got an app, but you don't necessarily have a well-behaved app. And to be well-behaved, you want to make sure that you're disposing of objects when your application is suspended. Sorry, went to the wrong tab here. So here I register a callback to let my app know when the application is suspending. And you can see here that if I have a service object, a root object, I go ahead and I dispose it, and then I remember that I've disposed it. So this is how you write a well-behaved app, and you've kind of seen how the pieces that I talked about earlier for the API, how they all fit together. So at this point, you know everything that you need to build an app that talks to a Bluetooth smart device. But some people, as I mentioned, have asked a few specific questions, and so we address them here in the advanced topic section of this talk. So the first advanced topic is, given a particular service on a device, how do I find a sibling service on that device? So up to now, we've been dealing with the heart rate service on my heart rate device, but there are other services on it. And how would I discover one of those other services? So this is more of an advanced topic because most people will deal with that one particular key service. But you can Some devices will have multiple services, and you may be interested in discovering that. And so because this is discovery, again, we always go through the windows.devices.enumeration API. And that uses selectors. So now earlier I talked about how the GET API offers a helper method that will generate a selector for you. And I mentioned that it's just a string and that it can be augmented to be more specific, or it can be modified in other ways. So essentially what we're doing here is taking that selector that the GET API helps us define, and we're going to augment it. So when you're interested in a sibling service, you're interested in the particular container that it's in. A container here is a physical device. So what we want to do is we want to use the helper to retrieve a GAT-specific selector for that sibling service that we were interested in. At that point, we have a string that is specific to that service, but is generic in terms of the device. So it's going to retrieve all instances of that service that are known to Windows. So what you then do is you augment the selector by also defining the device container, and it's a property that you would have received from the first device information object. So one thing to know here is that this is another service. So of course you have to ensure that your application declares that it wants to access this sibling service. So let's take a look at how that's done in code. And we'll do this. I'll go ahead and actually modify the sample now so that you can see it done live. So we switch here to our application. I mentioned one of the first things we do is we declare that we are interested in another service. So here I copy paste this. And I've looked online and I happen to know for the purpose of this modification, I'm going to look up the battery level, which is on the battery service of my heart rate monitor. And I've looked it up online, and I happen to know that the battery service is supported by name. So I will just type in that I'm interested in the battery service. So now I've declared access. And I probably want to show some sort of visual indication here on my app. So let's go ahead and quickly modify the UI for this. So I'll add a stack panel here because I happen to like stack panels. And it'll be horizontal. So over here, close that bracket. And I like to be neat and tidy, of course. So there it is. And I'm going to display the battery level via a simple progress bar. So let me give it a name so that I can interact with it from my code. And I'll call it the battery level bar. I'll specify some of the aesthetics of it really quickly. So give it a width and a height. And over there, oops. And there you go. So now I have something that I can display to the user. Now, how do I go ahead and do that? So I mentioned that when you're interested in another service, you're on a sibling service more specifically, you're interested in the device container. Now, a device container is not one of the standard properties that you get back from a device information object. So I'm going to want to specify when I search, or when I use the enumeration API to find all instances of the heart rate service that are known to Windows, in the objects that I get back, the device information objects, I'm also interested in the container ID. So I do that here by specifying the set of properties that I'm interested in on the set of devices that I get back. So I refer to the property by its nice friendly name. And now on the objects that I get back, I'm going to get back the container ID property on all of them. So what we do right now, and I'll declare this right next to my function, is we're interested in squirreling away that container ID. So once the user has selected which device they want, we'll go ahead and stash that information. And it's present on the device object. So let me type this out. Oops. Interested in the device, and I'm interested in its properties, and in particular, the system.devices.containerID. So I happen to know that this particular property will be the GUID, or the UUID, without the opening and closing curly braces. So let's add that in here. So I've got it in a great form that's ready to use. Oops, already have it. So now I've got that, and I'm going to initialize the service at this point, and then I want to actually display that battery level, right? So add a function here that I'll call to display the battery level. Let me go ahead and we'll write that function. So, well, I happen to know it'll need to be asynchronous. Oops, have those the wrong way around. Sorry, I did have that the right way around. And we'll write that function to display the battery level. So first off, I mentioned that we want to go and search for that battery service. So I'm going to retrieve the original selector. Right, so again, using that helper function, and using a well-known service ID. So now I've got my basic selector, but I want to augment that selector to also specify the container that it's in. So I'm going to append that query string and specify that the container I'm interested in is the one that I had squirreled away already. So there's the container ID. And then I'll close that quotation. So now I've got a selector, and as I do with all selectors, I'm going to send that in to the windows.devices.enumeration API. So I'll do that here, and I know it's asynchronous, and I'm interested in getting back the results. So we'll do that here, information, and we'll search for, we'll search for the battery services known to Windows, and we'll use that selector. So that will get me back a set of devices. And in this particular case, I know that device is only going to have one, so I'll just do that. And you'll notice here I'm using the construct in C#. So this lets me be well behaved because I'm going to go and get a battery service. And I'm going to, in particular, use, as I mentioned, the first service. But I also want to make sure that I'm well behaved. So that using construct lets me ensure that when this clause finishes, that battery service object will be disposed. So now I've got that root object. I'm interested in finding a particular characteristic. As I mentioned, it's the battery level characteristic. spell that correctly. And I can do that by navigating the hierarchy. Oops. And as I mentioned, all the objects are keyed off by a UUID. So I happen to know that this is a well-known UUID. So I'll type it out using my name. And I know that there's only going to be one. So I'll go ahead and get the first one. So then I have a characteristic. And I'm interested in the level value, right? As I mentioned, the level characteristic, I'm interested in the value of that level. So, let's go ahead and retrieve that level by reading it from the device. Characteristic, it's an asynchronous function, and I'm interested in just waiting until it completes and getting the data back. So now I have a level, and I want to display that level in the object that I had earlier. So here's the object. I'm going to set its value. And I happen to know that the level is a single byte buffer. So at that point, when I read the value, it's a buffer. I know it's a single byte. So I'll use another convenient helper to take that buffer and just read 1 byte of it. And sorry, the level is actually has two properties. It lets me know whether or not it completed successfully, because with Bluetooth smart devices, it could go out of range. So I actually want the value part of it that has the buffer. So there, now I've declared what I want to do, and I'm getting a warning here from Visual Studio because turns out I did not spell level properly. So let's quickly fix that. Now I've got my function, and let's run it. So here we've got my modified sample running here. So let's go ahead and start it. You'll notice that I've got the little progress bar here. Nothing exciting is going on, but I haven't gone through any fancy UI or anything here. I just want to display it for this demo. So I'll run it, and I've got my list, as I mentioned before. So that's the user pick one. I'm going to pick one. I get a prompt, because as I mentioned before, I modify the manifest, so it's sort of like the app is being installed for the first time. I'm going to get asked, and I'll say that, yes, I do want to access my heart rate sensor. And there you go. It's been populated. You can see here, I happen to know from reading the values that it's about 80% charged, my heart rate sensor. And it's all happening while I get my heart rate there on the side. So that is me modifying directly. You saw how easy that was to do there. And that was how to get a sibling service, how to discover it, how to instantiate it, and how to access characteristic on it. So let's go back now and look at another advanced topic that a couple of people have asked about, and it's how to detect the connection state of my particular Bluetooth smart device. So you can use a PNP object watcher, and this is part of the windows.devices.enumeration.pnp namespace. And a PNP object watcher is a way to watch for changes to an object in PNP. Now, the connection state is represented by a device property, and in particular, it's a property that is on the container object. And the container is that same object that we were just working with when I was discovering a sibling service. So there's a connection property on it that lets me know the connection state. And I can use a watcher to receive notifications of changes in that connection property. So let's go ahead and I'll modify the sample again, and we can see how to accomplish that. Now, this code is a little bit longer, so I'm not going to actually make the changes myself and type it all out, but you'll be able to see, I'll paste the changes in, and you'll be able to see how to accomplish it. So this time, I'm going to do it via a little circle that will show me whether or not I'm connected or disconnected. So I'll give it a name so that I can refer to it in code. Indicator. And I'll give it just a width and a height. I'll give it a height here. Let's say circle. Oops. And I'll just give it a little bit of a border so it's easier to tell. Okay, so now I've got my circle. I'm going to go ahead into the code. The first thing I mentioned is this is part of the PNP namespace, so here it is here. It's included. I've declared that I'm going to be using that namespace. So when I come over here, I'm going to add a start watching function. So let's go ahead and add that here. So after I get my container ID, I want to start watching. So now to write that function, I'm going to cheat a little and copy that code in, which I happen to have handy here on the side. So I'll paste that here, and then we'll take a look at the code itself. So first off, I do want to wait till I've started watching here. So I'll make this synchronous here. So so over here, we'll start watching. So I'm going to use a PNP object watcher. And you can see that I'm going to create one of those watchers. And it'll be from a particular ID. I specify that it's a device container, not another type of device object in, or another device PNP object. So it's going to be a container. And I have the ID that I stashed away before. And I'm interested in this connected property, right? So that when I'm notified of any changes, I'll be able to see that property. So, gets me the container object so that I can display that property right away. And then once I have that property, here's the part where I actually create the watcher. So I specify it as a device container, and I'm interested in the connected property. So and so over here, I'm going to register for the update notification, and then I'll start watching. So here's my little update notification here. When I get notified of any changes on any container ID, I'll check if it's the container ID that I had before. And then I will, and then I could go ahead and actually update my state now in the UI, so I'll be able to see just what that looks like. So here's the part where I actually update the UI. It's pretty simple. I just, I have to make sure that I dispatch it to the UI thread, and I'll read the property. The property value of the system.devices.connected property is a Boolean, so I'll parse that out. And then I'll fill in the color of my little circle appropriately. So let's go ahead and run that. So I'm going to run it. and I'm going to pick the device. And there you happen to see that it's connected already. So there I am, we're off and running, and you have my heart rate, which is apparently a little higher right now. So while that's running, I'm going to actually disconnect my device. So I'll go ahead and do that right now. So now I've got it off. You can see the numbers got a little bit funky there as I was taking it off. So now there's no more values. I'm not wearing it, so I have it off on the side. The device will try transmitting for a little bit, and then in about 10 to 20 seconds later, you can see that it's not detecting any values anymore, so it's decided to disconnect. And there you go. You can see that the indicator went red. So I received the notification for my particular container that I was interested in. I parsed out the Boolean value, which is now false, of course, and then I colored in the circle. So that illustrates there how to receive that, how to monitor the connection state of my particular device. So there you go. There's two advanced topics for discovering sibling services and also monitoring the connection state of the device. So at that point, you know how to build a great app. So for other related information, there's the talk that we recommend going out and listening to or watching, which is the earlier talk on building an app that connects to devices. It gives you the broader picture. There's Alex's talk, which is about building apps that talk to the various protocol APIs with a focus on Bluetooth RFCOM. And again, I just talked about the Bluetooth smart portion of that device protocol API. But there are other talks that deal with building an app for USB devices or building apps for HID devices. So for more resources, we have these samples are available online in C++, C#, and JavaScript, as well as a tool that lets you look at your Bluetooth device, your Bluetooth smart device, and look at the services on that device and look at the characteristics on that service, look at some of the properties. So that's a good way to look at a device and explore what it has. So that's all. Hope you've enjoyed learning how to build your great app for Bluetooth smart devices. I look forward to seeing your app being a success, because Windows 8.1 really does make it easy for you to write an app that talks to your Bluetooth smart device. Thank you.